Good morning. You're listening to Expansion on republicbroadcasting.org, the RBN network. I'm Sophia, your host, and the point of this show is, the title of this show is all about expanding our understanding, which I believe is the first tool in regaining our senses, our power, our ability to be who we are on this earth. I have a little equation that is on my new website, aboutthesky.com. There's a lot happening in the air around us, and that is what we're going to be talking about today. Information equals knowledge, equals consciousness, equals power. And those four words actually represent different steps, stages of assimilation and growth even of the mind. You start with information, and with that you form your own knowledge. This is what's so important. We have to have our own knowledge, our own understanding about something. And then that opens and expands your consciousness. Consciousness, I won't even attempt to define it because it's a huge, huge, huge word. But our consciousness is what is being slowly closed down, contracted by the, let's just call them the powers that be. So while they are creating contraction, we have to create expansion. And the first place that that must begin is within us. And it is that consciousness that is the real root, the real kernel, center, core, those are better words, center and core of our power. So today I'm bringing back Lorraine Morey, the geoscientist who has written many, many articles, given many talks, and two that I would recommend people to read are From Hiroshima to Iraq, 61 Years of Uranium Wars. This is on the Global Research website. It is a phenomenal piece. As I said in the previous show when I interviewed Lorraine, it left me sitting speechless in my car. I read it in my car. I couldn't talk. I couldn't think. I didn't know who to call. But that's the beginning. The knowledge, the information and the knowledge is the beginning of it all. And then from that you can get up to other stages of this. The second piece is Planet Earth as Weapon and Target. And this is another, I think this is an earlier piece. But anyway, I'm going to bring Lorraine in for a quick moment before we go to break. Lorraine, are you there?
Yes, good morning.
How are you?
Oh, I'm very well, thanks. How are you?
Good. I'm very glad to have you back because today you're going to talk about HAARP.
Yes. Right?
This is what I mean when I say there's something going on in the air around us. And here's our break, 3 minutes, and we'll be back on the other side to hear more. You're listening to Expansion on republicbroadcasting.org, the RBN network. This is Sophia, your host, and my guest today is geoscientist Lorraine Morey, and we are going to be talking, we're just starting this two-hour discussion about HAARP, electromagnetism, and anywhere that will take us. Lorraine, do you want to give a summary of what this program is?
Yes, I'd like to just sort of talk for a minute about how I got involved in it. I worked at the Lawrence Livermore Nuclear Weapons Laboratory from 1989 to 91, and I had no idea that HAARP and the MK Ultra mind control secret research were being put together at the Livermore Nuclear Weapons Lab, and there was even a safe house in Livermore where the animal studies on mind control, which were conducted at UC Davis in the monkey colony, were adapted to humans in the safe house in Livermore. And the prototype for HARP, which is a very large array antenna, which has numerous locations now around the world, but the biggest HARP facility is in Gakona, Alaska, and it's over a square mile. I never could have imagined in all my experience in science and in traveling around the world, I've been to 46 countries, that a technology such as this HARP project was ever possible. But finally, I realized that first, man discovered a way to use chemical energy, in other words, the energy released in chemical reactions, as a weapon. And that would be gunpowder, TNT, gelignite, plastics, explosives, and other forms of chemical weapons. And then man discovered how to use nuclear energy as a weapon. And that, of course, was the Manhattan Project during World War II, which was conducted by the U.S. government in collaboration with British and Canadian scientists and governments, as well as quite a few foreign scientists. And the Cold War, which was a long war between the Soviet Union, basically, and the U.S., or the East and the West, was conducted with an awful lot of resources put into it, but it was actually created by the City of London bankers, and Russia or the Soviet Union and the U.S. were not really enemies. But if they had not conducted the Cold War as pretend enemies, the economies of both countries would have collapsed. And during that Cold War, as in all wars, new and exotic technologies are developed. All kinds of research is undertaken with huge amounts of money pumped into it by governments around the world. And the a new form of warfare emerged at the end of the Cold War, and that is geomagnetic warfare. And I'd like to read the definition of it from the Space Preservation Act of 2001. And 2001 is when I began to investigate and do research on HARP, because I was involved in getting the City of Berkeley to pass a resolution supporting Dennis Kucinich's Space Preservation Act of 2001. And as many people know, Congressman Dennis Kucinich from Cleveland, Ohio, has conducted many activities and efforts and grassroots campaigns to end the weaponization of space, as well as the use of depleted uranium on the battlefield. So this is his bill, U.S. Congress H.R. 2977. And just a paragraph from it, quote, "The term exotic weapon systems includes weapons designed to damage space or natural ecosystems such as the ionosphere and upper atmosphere, or climate, weather, and tectonic systems, with the purpose of inducing damage or destruction upon a target population or region on Earth or in space. And there's a good book by Dr. Rosalie Bertell called Planet Earth, The Latest Weapon of War. And she wrote this because she had served on many science advisory boards to the U.S. government on ballistic missile defense, national missile defense, and then also projects that later were identified as a part of the HAARP project. So that's sort of how I got involved, and it's taken me 7 years to really begin to put the pieces together and to identify the each of the projects: climate, weather, tectonic systems, and of course the most important one is the mind control aspect of HAARP. And HAARP stands for High Auroral Atmospheric Research Project. And it's basically a global antenna system to release huge amounts of energy into the ionosphere and reflect it off of the curved shape or surface of the ionosphere in order to weaponize scattered energy and focus it in a beam. And then I'm going to also talk about the first really hard evidence I came across that really outlined the Air Force plan to weaponize the weather. And this was a document that I came across in about 1995, and it was called Weather as a Force Multiplier, Owning the Weather in 2025. And this is a research paper presented to the Air Force in 2025 in August of 1996. So that's sort of an outline. It's a shocking, unbelievable, very complex, extremely well-funded, integrated system with antennas that are managed or designed by other countries. And so we'll get into that, but maybe you have some comments first.
Well, it is pretty shocking, I guess, is one word. This is grave. That's all I can really say. This is a grave, huge concept that we are being modulated and manipulated invisibly. That's the element that I want to discuss a little more, that there's a stealth weaponry that is being implemented and used upon us, and we are none the wiser. And this is why I think that we have to become wise to this. I want to impress on people that if this is mind control, the one utility we have to counter it is to own our own consciousness.
That's right, and that's exactly what I've used. That's been my strategy, and it was actually a monk in Japan who taught me not to be afraid of it, but to face it and to develop my own strength and my own powers to overcome it. And I think I would have been very lost without that interaction and that advice and wisdom from him.
Now, the ways by which HAARP is implemented, can you describe any of them? Give examples.
Oh, sure. I'd like to read a couple of quotes just to show you how long the development of this technology has been in the works. This is a quote from Between Two Ages, a book by Zbigniew Brzezinski, which was published in 1971. And Brzezinski of course, started the Trilateral Commission for David Rockefeller, and he also served as, National Security Advisor under probably 5 administrations. So he's a deep, deep insider. And by the way, he recruited Obama as a 19-year-old student who had transferred to Columbia University, where Brzezinski was a professor.
Well, we're about to go off for break. I was just going to bring up Obama. Let's wait the 3 minutes and continue on the other side. You're listening to Expansion on republicbroadcasting.org, the RBN network. I'm your host, Sophia, and I have a guest today, Lorraine Morey, and we're talking about HARP, the high-frequency active auroral research project, and the subject of geomagnetic warfare. Now, Lorraine, you were mentioning the big new Brzezinski, that he had recruited Obama at 19.
Yes.
And he's been an advisor to 5 different presidents.
Yes.
And he's apparently going to be the advisor to Obama, too.
Yes.
And he's a deep insider.
Yes, he is. And this is his quote in his book in 1971. This is where we're going, and this is the man who's taking us there. And Obama will most certainly be part of this. His quote is from 1971. Quote, "The tectonic era involves the gradual appearance of a more controlled society. Such a society would be dominated by an elite, unrestrained by traditional values. Soon, it will be possible to assert almost continuous surveillance over every citizen and maintain up-to-date complete files containing even the most personal information about the citizen. These files will be subject to instantaneous retrieval by the authorities." And basically, he's talking about the mind control aspect of HARP. And these are radio frequencies that have been developed at the same frequency as the human mind. Our bodies are antennas. They transmit and receive. And the extensive research done on the brain and control of the brain and commanding the brain was done secretly by the CIA in a project called MKUltra, which started actually, the precursor started in 1947, when the CIA was formed. And the Dulles brothers, of course, were very involved with that. And actually, George Herbert Walker Bush is the chief architect and CEO of the global mind control empire. And Howard Baker was also very deeply involved in that. Now, I discovered a photo at the University of California at Davis, which was in a newsletter there in 1964. And it was a photograph, very interesting photograph, of Edward Teller, who was involved in the Manhattan Project, and some people call him the father of the hydrogen bomb, although he certainly was not. It was a mathematician named Ulam who did the mathematical work which made development of the hydrogen bomb possible. Teller was never able to do that. But he was deeply involved in the HARP project. He served as director of the Livermore Nuclear Weapons Lab for a very brief time. He was thrown out because he was such an awful person, and even scientists couldn't stand him. And he's standing there next to Nelson Rockefeller, who was vice president under George Bush then. And they're at the dedication of the Applied Science Facility at UC Davis, which is where the software was written for mind control from the animal studies that were conducted in the monkey colony. And then later transferred to human application in the Safe House at Livermore. And I went to UC Davis in the 60s. I was the first woman to get a bachelor's degree in the geosciences. It was called geology then. And I remembered the monkey colony and horror stories that students who worked there described. They'd seen monkeys running around in cages with the top of their heads cut off and wires and electrodes and antennas coming out of their brains. And since then, there has been a congressional investigation of MKUltra, and even though Richard Helms, who was director of the CIA, destroyed many of the documents, there are enough that were left or not destroyed or discovered in other places that give us a very good idea of what they were doing and what the goals were. And Stanford and UCLA and many other institutions were involved in it, as well as the entire membership of the American Psychology Association, APA, and almost every single member was involved in MKUltra, giving children LSD and doing horrible experiments on human beings, and which is all illegal, by the way. And also, Johns Hopkins University was involved, MIT, and many of the members of IEEE, which is the International Electrical Engineers Organization.
Well, we are coming up on another short break. We'll be back on the other side in just a few.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
You're listening to Expansion on Republic Broadcasting, the RBN Network. This is Sophia, your host, and my guest is Loren Moray. And we're talking today about geomagnetic warfare, HARP, mind control. And I wanted to say, Loren, that the description of HARP as a surveillance program,
yes,
that I think is a little bit misleading, and that is the one that they've always adhered to. And a lot of people would probably say, well, I don't care. I have nothing to hide. You know, if they want to watch me, they can watch me. But I think the other side of that coin is that it's a program of controlling us, not just keeping an eye on us. And that's the part that's minimized.
It's an extremely dangerous extremely dangerous and very, very invasive system. In fact, there is no privacy whatsoever, even with your own thoughts. And let me just read another Brzezinski quote. This is from the same book, Between Two Ages, which he wrote, and it was published in 1971. Quote, accurately timed, artificially excited electronic strokes could lead to a pattern of oscillations that produce relatively high power levels over certain regions of the Earth. One could develop a system that would seriously impair the brain performance of a very large population in selected regions over an extended period. And this is from my paper, which is The Planet Earth as Weapon and Target, which is published in the World Affairs Journal in the winter of 2005, and it's on the Internet, so people can read the whole paper. But just to go on with what I was writing about, when an American electropollution activist asked Motorola the purpose of the 10 hertz frequency on the carrier wave of the new Motorola police radio system, she did not get an answer. And that was my personal communication with Libby Kelly, who was the chair of the Marin County Health Council, and she told this to me in 2003. From my own investigations and many interviews, I learned that the system was beamed across America when the Cold War ended through Motorola radio systems, the police and emergency response radio towers, cell phone towers, satellites, and another Motorola product called Tetra in Britain. And this is a quote by Jay Griffiths, A Popular Revolt, which he wrote about the Tetra system in The Ecologist magazine in September of 2004. Quoting him, he said, costing 2.9 billion pounds, that's about $5 billion, the UK's new police communication system, Tetra, has been described by one independent scientist is likely to cause, quote, more civilian deaths than all the world's terrorist organizations put together. And what they're doing in England now is culling the society there. And this is the goal of the New World Order, to eliminate the original thinkers, the people with mathematical talent, and people who are change agents. In other words, almost the people on the West Coast of the United States. And they're killing a process, according to Timothy Riffitt, who has done a lot of interviews and investigations in England, they're culling about 150,000 people a year, in other words, killing them with these radio systems in England. So they've got to be doing it here, too. And that was confirmed with my recent visit to Canada, where I learned that the entire Canadian-U.S. border is being depopulated for 6 miles on each side of the border. And they're using chemtrails and pesticides and various radio frequencies. So this is all very much a reality. It's absolutely horrifying. And this extensive surveillance is certainly not to keep us safe. It's to depopulate and control the society, as the quotes I've just read to you certainly support. Now, do you have any comments? I'm going to talk about the environmental warfare now.
Well, of course, I mean, I have all kinds of reactions to what you're saying. I'm trying to act come from the place of being just a normal person, even, who doesn't know about any of this, because I've read your articles, and I am aware of all the ways in which certain constructions, like Gwen Towers, for instance.
Right.
Gwen Towers aren't what they seem. Nothing is what it seems.
That's right.
And these towers that are put up, Ground Wave Emergency Network, I just learned the acronym Gwen very recently. But we're told that they're for cell phones, for emergency communications, and this is all for our safety. So they are treating us as though we're 5-year-olds that we'll just believe that they're out there trying to do good things and make the world better and safer. But when you say that they're depopulating in Britain and then along the borders in Canada and the U.S., what is actually happening to these people? They're dying from what causes? Is anybody commenting? They surely have families. Is this all covered up?
Well, people just kind of sort of mysteriously have heart attacks, or they can trigger heart attacks. Police can do it from even a mile away. And these are integrated with ground systems, so it's a space-based weapon, but it's transmitted from the ground and integrated with ground systems as well. And the police and law enforcement and the FBI and CIA, they all have this technology, and also other countries do. So even governments are integrated in using these technologies. And the main target for this HAARP technology is the Muslim population. It's the world of Islam around the world, and also Christians. And HAARP, H-A-R-P in Arabic, means war. So isn't that ironic to name this horrific weapon system, space-based weapon system, HAARP, H-A-A-R-P, and knowing that we know now that the real target is the world of Islam or the Muslim population. And so it's sort of a play on the Arabic word for war, which is HAARP.
Now, if the primary target are the Muslims, and then you also mentioned the Christians, can you say why the Muslims are being targeted? Is it to dovetail with the whole terror thing anyway? Or is there something about Muslims that they should be eliminated?
It's because the primary target now for the control of mineral resources is the vast region, and this is by, this is being set up and engineered and carried out by the New World Order, but specifically the international bankers within the ancient Roman walls of the city of London. And they are the bloodlines of money lenders going all the way back to Venice, to the Merchant of Venice was Shakespeare's play about them. Before that, it was the Roman Empire. Before that, they were the money lenders in the Egyptian Empire. And before that, the Mesopotamian Empire. And they created royalty or kings and queens to be used as a way to rule over and dominate the public by their self-declared divine right. In other words, God gave them the right to rule over ordinary citizens or the ordinary population. And then, of course, the bankers, they're just the puppets, the royalty for the international bankers who control money around the world. So
the international bankers are targeting the Muslims first.
Yes, yes. And the reason is that, this is Henry Kissinger's quote, he said, "He who controls the food controls a country. He who controls a region of the energy controls a region. He who controls the money rules the world." And so Homeland Security now has the keys to lock up the entire American food supply. So it's our government, it's Homeland Security, it's law enforcement that now have the ability to completely control our society. The wars that are going on now, and this is where HAARP is being used, and I'm going to specifically talk about that. The wars going on now are over the vast energy-rich region from Sudan and Somalia all the way to the Philippines, and from the Russian oil-rich republics, which are independent now, but this would be Tajikistan, Azerbaijan, Kazakhstan, Afghanistan, all those, Turkmenistan, those small oil-rich republics, energy-rich because Kazakhstan and Afghanistan have huge uranium deposits, as well as Tibet. And so that region goes down to Sumatra, which has already been experienced a huge, absolutely mammoth earthquake and tsunami, and this allowed the U.S. military and other military and emergency response agencies into regions, for instance, Sumatra, where they'd never been allowed before. So these HARP events are being used not only to depopulate, but to give access to our military and UN forces, so forth, to get into regions that were closed in previously.
So they're using natural, what they would term a natural catastrophe, which isn't. It's engineered, and HARP is also apparently a program that can engineer these earthquakes, tsunamis,
yes,
because it's vibration or frequency-based.
Yes, it's manipulating the energies of natural processes and earth processes.
So that gives them access, and they want control of these vast energy stores and resources, which happen to be at this time in the Muslim regions of the world.
That's right, because that whole vast region is very, very heavily populated with Muslim people.
And then you mentioned Christians as well.
Yes. Beginning with World War II and probably even before that, Christians were, or I should say the civilian population, especially in third world countries, was the real target of war in World War II. And nothing could more blatantly support that than the dropping of the first two atomic bombs after the test bomb, the Trinity bomb at Los Alamos, on living human populations in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, Japan. And that was opposed at that time by almost everyone in the military. General Dwight Eisenhower was very vocal about it, speaking out against it. And no one in the military really wanted to be from a military and a country that dropped the first atomic bombs on human beings. It was very unpalatable to them, and other key decision makers were opposed to it in our government. But actually, it was Colonel Henry Stimson who selected those two targets, Hiroshima and Nagasaki. He shoved General Groves out of the way and said, "Give me that target list one day in the War Office." And he said, "I'm going to make the decision. I am the only one who's going to make the decision. I'm going to pick the targets, and that's that." And what was very interesting, because I've been reading extensively, I wanted to know, why did they drop the bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki? And what I discovered is they were the two largest Christian populations in Japan, and Christianity had been spreading like wildfire all over Asia. And the London bankers and the Wall Street bankers were very threatened by a new region of Christianity because they would ally themselves with Western Christian countries. And the Asian region is the biggest threat now to the international bankers in the City of London and Wall Street. So what they're trying to do now is to grab all the energy resources, oil, gas, and uranium, in order to control that region. Now, going back to targeting Christians, a New York Times reporter was actually in the warplane that was piloted by a U.S. military officer that flew over Nagasaki and dropped the bomb on that city. And that was 3 days after the bomb was dropped on Hiroshima, and really neither of them were necessary. The Japanese had been trying to surrender for at least 6 months, and the U.S. refused to allow them to. And the pilot of the Nagasaki, the plane that dropped the Nagasaki bomb, actually went 5 miles, 4 or 5 miles off course to drop the bomb on the Jesuit cathedral, the largest Catholic church in Asia, in the Urukami district of Nagasaki. It's called the Urukami Cathedral. And a Japanese told me he had heard that the Rockefellers bought up all the valuable real estate in Hiroshima and Nagasaki after those cities were devastated by the first two atomic bombs that were ever used in warfare. So since then, the civilian population in Vietnam was targeted with Agent Orange. Agent Orange, or a defoliant like Agent Orange, was proposed in under the Manhattan Project to be used for the specific purpose of depopulating countries or regions. And actually, during Vietnam, the Rockefellers went in illegally and built oil refineries all over Vietnam, and Alcoa set up aluminum refineries plants as well.
All right, well, we're going off for another short break, and we'll be back on the other side. Listening to Expansion on republicbroadcasting.org, the RBN network. This is Sophia, your host, and I'm speaking today with geoscientist Loren Moray, and we're talking about HAARP, geomagnetic warfare, electromagnetic warfare as well, and we were just discussing the apparent desire on the part of the international bankers. Now, we're not calling them the power elite for the purpose of this interview, we're calling them international bankers, to eliminate Muslims and also Christians in the Asian parts of the world. Now, tell me why, again, I still don't understand why the threat of Christian Asians, I'm speaking of Japanese converted to Christianity, you said that they would align with the Western Christians.
Well, they would identify with Christians around the world. Their race is irrelevant, as well as the country they come from. And the reason that the Muslims are targeted is because they occupy the vast region now, as I said, between Sudan and Somalia and the Philippines from the east and west. And on the north and south, from the oil-rich republics of the former Soviet Union to Sumatra in the Indian Ocean. This is a huge region, but it contains the greatest oil and gas deposits in the world. And in order to control a region, you have to control the energy supplies.
Right. Well, that you explained in the previous segment.
Right.
But the Christian thing is what... I guess you're just saying that they,
I'm just repeating
it, divide and conquer kind of thing.
Well, with the Christians, the reason they are targeting Christians is because the City of London bankers, many of them are Zionist Jews, although most of them are not even practicing Jews. But they use the Jewish religion and members of the Jewish faith to... carry forward their plans and their projects and their goals. And so anyone who is a non-Jew to them, even though they destroy their own people of their own faith, the Jews have been more targeted and depopulated, genocided by their own leadership than Gentiles or other people who've targeted Jews.
So they just use all groups strategically.
They just use all groups strategically, and religion really means nothing to them. They're not even really practicing Judaism in the true meaning of a religious faith. So that's why Christians are targeted. Now, let's go to a quote by Mikhail Gorbachev, former Soviet Union leader. He quote, this is a quote of his in something called a special report, "The Wildlands Project Unleashes Its War on Mankind," unquote. It's by Marilyn Brannan, associate editor, Monetary and Economic Review, 1996. Quote, the threat of environmental crisis will be the international disaster key that will unlock the new world order. And they're using HAARP to create environmental crises that are the key to unlock the new world order.
Well, that's a beautiful conclusion for the first hour, and we have a short break. We'll be back in just a little while.
Gold has been